Good morning, church.
Good morning.
How are you? I'm never entirely sure what to do with kind of special weekends. So sometimes I've preached on Memorial Day and sometimes I've let it go. I'm going to do it today. I want to talk about that. And we'll finish up our Romans 12 text next week. Okay. What we want to start off with is a series of images. So go ahead and bring up that first image. Does that convey anything? Sometimes images can convey it better than words. Go ahead and bring up the next image. Go ahead and bring the next image up. Okay, go ahead and do the next one. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Even if we talk and think in terms of freedom we have in Christ, we know that wasn't free, was it? See, it's interesting to me, and I see a deeper meaning. Maybe others don't, particularly in the secular world, but it's interesting that some of the things the world wants to talk about, memorialize, have an essence in Scripture. There's something true and godly about remembering. Yeah, something very true and godly. All right, go ahead and bring up the next. Our text this morning is from John chapter 15. Ben, this ought to sound familiar. Go ahead and bring up our text now. Yeah, that last point there. Go ahead and bring up our text now. There we go. John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Now, I think Ben's already talked about it in a way that, in a sense, Christians have a memorial that we do every week. We stop and remember. Probably a lot of different things. But we stop and we remember. And, of course, a weekend like this is about honoring those who have gone before. And in this particular case, those that have served and paid the ultimate price for their country in that type of way. I like to think of it in this way. Whenever I do a funeral, and there may have been an exception or two, but I always like to bring up one point. I like to point out that for those of you that knew and loved, which is usually everybody there, I guess some enemies could show up, but in general, for those of you that knew and loved, the one that we are honoring and remembering and celebrating today, there was something good about them. You honor them most by making whatever was good and right in their life a part of yours, if you haven't already. You honor in that way. Okay? Yes, they're not perfect. We don't want to pick up on the bad. We can leave that behind. But you honor by whatever was important to them that was good and right and just, making it a part of your life. And see, that's one of the things that we see in this text, don't we? There is a way in which we honor the Lord. See, He has a primary command for us, doesn't He? That we love each other. If you want to honor Jesus, love each other. Now, we've been talking about that, and we'll finish up next week. And even on Wednesday night, we've been looking at that for the last three Wednesdays and talking about some of those things. So I don't know how much time I need to spend there, because we've exposed some of that, and we'll talk about some more next week. But maybe we could wind it down in a way like this. Love, one of the ways in which we love, and one of the ways in which I think we honor Jesus, is that we make our relationships work. We make church work the way it's supposed to. Now, again, for those of you that hadn't been in on the previous series and going to be here next week, I'm sorry. You can pick those up on the website if you want. That's there if you want to pick some of those things up, what we've been talking about. But we learn to love each other. We make it work. Even when it's hard, we love each other. Now, let's go on that a little bit more. He laid down his life. Can I suggest to you that's one of the things we do too, is we lay down our life. If you want to make it more explicit, if you want to follow Jesus, you take up your cross, follow him. Cross, in that context, was a symbol for an execution. Okay? Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Church, you get these ideas here? Now, let me come at this in a couple of ways here. Let's try to make it this way. Very often when we talk about giving a life or losing our life and that kind of thing, we often think of it in very heroic and dramatic ways. An example would be, the recent tornado in Oklahoma, it was inspiring, wasn't it, to hear the stories of the teachers that just covered the children with their bodies? Yeah. That's heroic. That is a giving of a life. In other words, they were there protecting. And the idea between covering a body is if anybody dies, hopefully it's me first. You go through me to get to them, that type of thing. That's the reason for a covering of the body. You're protecting the one that you think is more important or the one that ought to be saved, if possible. I go first. If there's a choice here, take me, this type of thing. Now, that's a giving of a life in a very dramatic way. I also suggest to you this, that very often, the kind of giving of a life that Jesus is talking about is a life that is lived for him. And sometimes that's the harder thing, isn't it? You see, and again, let's bring it back to our example. Now, I'm guessing. I know I can say this for me, and probably I'm hoping for a lot of you. Hasn't everybody in here had a teacher that has had a big impact on you? Is that fair? What do you think, church? Is there a teacher that has had a bit? There has been on me. There's some that, maybe not so much, but there are those that have made a real impact on my life. Okay? Isn't that a giving of a life? You see, very often we think of it in dramatic ways, when sometimes Jesus may be simply asking us, could you live your life in a way that is full and that shows me to the world? That's a giving of a life. That's a giving. So I want us to think of it in two ways. You've got teachers that serve by covering their children with their body in a tornado. You've also got teachers that serve by spending 20, 30, 40 years in a profession and giving so much to the children that are there. So I'm just trying to say, and I'm just trying to use a secular example that's just very current with the same type of thing here. He wants us to give our life. Everybody in here, if you're a follower of Jesus, he expects you to give your life. Thing is, we all give it in different ways, but are you giving it? That's the way you honor. Everybody here, if you are a believer, they are expected to give your life. How are you giving it? You see, he laid down his life, we lay down ours. We lay down ours. You see, like another example that I thought of, because we get into this idea of bearing fruit. Have you ever seen a family that has sustained a horrible tragedy? And one of the things they do out of that tragedy is they say, if I can have anything to do with it, never again. There are all kinds of foundations out there and things that have been started where somebody has experienced a tragedy and they've said, I need to make other people aware. Maybe we need to change laws. Maybe we need to get support for people that are going through the same thing. There's all kinds out there. That's bearing fruit. And many of those foundations, organizations will live beyond the person that established it and set it up and made it run. You see, bearing fruit. You see, it really matters how we live. Are we living in a way that is giving our life or not? What are you doing? Now, let's get into this in another way. We're talking about Memorial Day and looking at that. And of course, the gist of Memorial Day is just simply those that gave their life in service to their country. That's the gist of it here. We want to honor and remember them today. And I've already made the point, and I think we can all agree, it's biblical to remember one who gave his life for you. That principle is there. I mean, we just did that in the Lord's Supper, didn't we? We remembered one who laid down his life for us. Now, here's the thing that I want to point out. And this is a huge difference. This difference makes all the difference. Jesus' life was never cut off. Understand what I'm saying? In other words, if you want to, you can go to John chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. And Jesus will tell you, nobody takes my life. I lay it down only to take it up again. That makes all the difference. You see, my father is buried at a veteran cemetery. If you ever go to one of those, it's an amazing place to be. It's really something to see. And so whenever I go there, it's interesting to wander among some of the other headstones that are there. And it's military. I mean, they're all in a straight line, and it's all pretty much done the same way. In fact, I remember you could put a little bit of an expression on there, but they told you how many letters and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's pretty uniform, except for that little way that you can personalize each one, okay? One of the things that's interesting is to wander among the headstones and to look at the dates. There are those like my father. My father was a World War II vet. There are those like my father. He served in World War II and he came home. And he married, he had a family, and he had a life. And yes, there is sadness at his passing, but there's a great resurrection day, and we know that. So I can deal with that. And I hope this makes sense, but there's a real sadness when I see somebody that when you do the math was 20. That's hard, isn't it? To see somebody that was 20. That's tough. And that's the thing that I'm getting at this morning, is that our Memorial Day is different in that his life never really was cut off, was it, church? I mean, he says it very clearly. I lay down my life only to take it up again. Only to take it up again. And that's the thing that makes the difference, and that's the thing that makes all the difference. I thought about, I remember as a little boy wanting to go see the Patton movie. Remember with George C. Scott? And in fact, I remember seeing it advertised in the paper and said, Dad, we got to go see that. I saw Patton in the theater. Now, I don't remember much. What I do remember is getting sick during the movie. But there was one image that made a real impression on me. Remember the big flag on the stage? And Patton walks up and he gives his speech. And he started off by saying one thing that really stuck with me, even as a kid. He says, nobody wins the battle by dying for their country. He says, you win the battle by making the other guy die for his country. And in a sense, that's biblical, isn't it? Jesus laid down his life to take it up again. That's how he won the battle. You see, it's not all of Scripture, but there is imagery and there is notions in Scripture of there is a war going on. The clearest example, that's going to be Revelation. I mean, I love Revelation in the sense that it pulls back the curtain and it lets us see what sometimes goes on in the heavenly realms and the battle that takes place there and the things that are happening. That curtain gets drawn for just a moment, and you get to look behind the scenes. You know, I mean, very early in Revelation, John gets caught up into heaven, and he gets to see some things that are amazing. You get to see the battle that's going on. War imagery is biblical. And there is a sense in which we need to see God engaged in a struggle against evil. There is a struggle going on there, and we're caught in the middle of all that. But in the midst of it, you've got Jesus who comes down, and while it's true he gave his life, that's not the end of the story, like it is for all those headstones in the military cemeteries. That body is still laying there. His tomb is empty. He laid down his life to take it up again. And that's all the difference in the world, church. It's all the difference. See, I wanted to give you all those images this morning because there's a couple of ways I could have gone. I could have gone with barbecues, couldn't I? Or skiing at the lake, right? I mean, there's all kinds of things I could have gone with. And generally, I mean, yeah, the scientists and the engineers will disagree with me, but kind of Memorial Day weekend is the beginning of summer in my mind. Technically, I know it's not correct. It's June 21st or that summer solstice, whatever the thing is. So I'm sorry, astronomers. For the rest of the world, it starts when? Memorial Day, and it ends on Labor Day, right? There you go. That's how I divide the world. Yeah. And when you look at it in that way, and when you start to, you see it, the images I could have given are of summer. I wanted y'all to see images this morning that really convey the reality. And I want to give that image that conveys the reality of what life is, and that some do have to pay a price that some of us don't have to. And there was one who paid the ultimate price and rose again. Makes all the difference in the world about our Memorial Day. That's what's important. We are not left without hope. Those that are grieving in those pictures that you saw, that is legitimate grief. It ought to be there. But Paul reminds us we don't grieve like those without hope. Because we've got it. We've got it. Our Memorial Day is different. That's good news, church. That's good news. I haven't sung it in a long time now. Remember the Lord's Army? We used to do it at Vista Oaks, but the children have quit singing there. But at least used to get to sing it there when we would go and the children would sing for the residents. But seems appropriate. I started to lead it this morning, and I thought, no, y'all have got too much dignity to stand up and do Lord's Army, right? So I won't do that to you. I came close in my mind. I was debating it back and forth. So you're safe, and I won't sing it to you either. I'm just simply saying there's a little truth in that song. I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery. But where am I? I'm in the Lord's army, and we serve a general who really believes it's not about, that it believes it's about victory. And has led us to victory. We good, church? We good. We remember in hope. All right. We're going to extend our time of invitation this morning. Probably could lead into it this way, saying, if you're not a part of the Lord's army, why not? Why not? I don't know what the needs are this morning. I don't know what's going on here in your minds and your hearts, but if you haven't made that commitment to the Lord, why not? Why not be baptized, become a part of the Lord's army, and move forward in step? If there's something we need to pray about this morning, let's pray about it. Hey, if there's something we need to give thanks about, church, let's give thanks about it. We've got an opportunity here in just a moment, and we'll be in prayer, and God hears prayer. I'll be at the back. Willette will be waiting with me there. Let's stand and sing.